Hi, everyone, and welcome to this version of the Health Services Division podcast for LCS. Today, I'm sitting in a room talking with Deb Goss, the Director of Clinical Services, and our subject for today is to talk about nurse consulting and the power behind nurse consulting, what it means to have a nurse consultant in your building. So, Deb, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're doing and the Health Services Division, and we can talk openly about the nurse consultants.
The Health Service Division has 8 nurse consultants, and their primary purpose is to be on site to our health centers providing consultative services. We believe at the Health Service Division, we have a duty to provide quality of care and services to our residents, our seniors who live with us, reside in our communities, and the on-site consultation ensures that key components are present for clinical programs, for our post-acute care systems, and we also do just run-of-the-mill sometimes oversight questions and answers for our administrators and directors of nursing.
So let's talk a little bit about what the community should expect when a nurse consultant shows up. They've got a schedule ready. They're coming to the community. There's some pre-visit information that they might have to have ready for the visit. So what do they expect to have happen once the nurse consultant shows up?
Before a nurse consultant shows up, an email confirming their visit will be sent, and it will identify those key components of their visit. It includes the CASPER report. It includes their census. It includes their statement of deficient practices from their prior survey. There's some key elements the nurse consultant wants to review with the administrator and their staff, basically trying to troubleshoot, if you will, identify where their strengths are and where the bulk of their time will be spent. There's also a standardized approach in that the report identifies approximately 8 areas that they will do a brief, I call that like a flash brief visit, some environment, infection control, just an overall how are the communities delivering. And then they spend time in our 8 clinical programs. We have 8 clinical programs. I'm not going to name them all, but skin and wound, hydration, for example, events are always reviewed as well. And meeting management is the other key time that the consultants spend time. I think everybody knows that you need to hold regular meetings and hold team meetings, but sometimes how effective are those? Our staff, our health centers struggle sometimes in holding effective meetings. So they're there to guide, coach, mentor that process so that risk can be mitigated and quality of care can be promoted.
So I take it that when they're there, they're looking at systems and programming, making sure that the residents are getting the care that they need. They're looking at kind of overall quality of care that's being delivered. And then in addition to that, they're making sure that the metrics that they're scoring are making sense. If they're missing some things, if they need some assistance, if they've got some things they want to talk about on the clinical side, the consultants are there to help them with that.
Right. I think they're kind of a stopgap method. Sometimes when, you know, in your own home, you might not notice the crack on the wall that's starting because you're rarely in that room or because your time and efforts are devoted in another room. And they're there to kind of say, hey, I think there's a little crack that's starting to form. Let's see if we can't get our systems in alignment over here as well before it becomes a real hole in the wall, so to speak. That's an analogy I'd use.
And so we're really trying to set them up for success and help them where we can. Obviously, in different communities, we have directors of nursing that are very seasoned. We have directors of nursing that may be new. We have directors of nursing that have been promoted from within or came from other companies or organizations. So how do the consultants help mentor them in their role as director of nursing?
Exactly. With leadership, sometimes comes a lot of responsibilities that are not easily trained. Taking classes and some other things can kind of help with leadership. But our consultants, when they're on site, coach and mentor those folks about how a good director of nursing or the LCS expectation of what a director of nursing needs to mentor their team, their staff, some good leadership skills in an effort to promote quality. Because as you know, happy employees make for happy homes, make for happy residents. Again, that's another position we're often asked to help onboard new directors of nursing. So if a new director of nursing comes, how do we do some peer mentoring? We do that via distance, not always on site as well, to keep them kind of focused on what that role looks like. Because people are different. And so sometimes their strengths in one area might not is a weakness in other areas. And so we try and bring them all up to good, strong directors in nursing.
And I think that's a good approach from the consultants, particularly when you have different backgrounds of the directors of nursing. Some came out of physician offices, some come out of long-term care communities, you know, independently operated and owned as freestanding skilled nursing. Others came from CCRC environments. And so there's a big gap between experience in the post-acute space, and the space is changing so dramatically right now that even the most seasoned directors of nursing are looking for assistance. Would that be a fair statement?
That's a great statement. That landscape in long-term care has changed. It's always been changing and evolving, I think, in healthcare, period. If you're not evolving and changing, you're kind of dead in the water. But it is so rapidly changing, it's hard to keep your head above water when there's a new rule or there's a new payment or there is standards of care just change. So the new quality measures, for example, with rehospitalization, we might not have measured that before. Now it's public record on Medicare.gov or a return to home from that post-acute. There's new measures that they're held accountable for. So it's always trying to help them be successful. And I can't say that enough. The nurse consultant, when they visit, that's their goal, is to help that individual, that community be successful. And I kind of want to get a good they're doing a great job right now because I think LCS has 7 deficiency-free communities, and we're only into month 4 for 2017. So they're doing a great job at helping them succeed as far as our Medicare certification and licensure rules are concerned.
Yeah, I think the success has been well-documented this year. You know, getting 7 deficiency-free surveys is amazing. In and of itself, they're not that easy to get anymore. You have to have so many things in place. There's hardly time to do nursing anymore because we're constantly doing documentation or reporting some kind of metric to somebody, trying to stay ahead of the curve with all of these changes. So having said that, how important is it at the community level for the executive director and the administrator to be involved with these clinical visits when they occur?
Very important. The director, you know, everybody needs everybody's help altogether. Another important event that occurs, and I failed to mention it earlier, during those site visits are what we call post-acute care meetings or reviews or conferences. We've used different terminologies because they've been held in different arenas. And what's really important is when that clinical consultant is on site, that you hold a post-acute care review to discuss your census, to discuss your systems, to discuss your therapies, your audits, because when you have a lot of brain power sitting together in a room, a lot of change can occur, all for the good.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we, as CCRC life plan providers, for the most part, we tend to believe that if we have a small health center, we're not that important to the post-acute space. But the reality is, with all the levels of care that LCS can deliver, we're even more significant than some of the freestanding providers. Would you agree?
I would totally agree. I would totally agree.
So I think there's opportunities even outside the health center. So when we have these post-acute meetings in the community, it's not only just to rally the troops around in the health center, but to also talk about, you know, how do we deploy these post-acute strategies across independent or assisted living or memory care or whatever the case might be, and how those executive directors and administrators get involved is to really say, you know, how can I involve my entire community in this strategy versus just that health center?
Right. And just the community within the walls and the community outside the walls. How do I take that outside these walls and explain the business that we're in or healthcare that we do?
Yeah, so I think when we take a look at the value of the consultants and what they mean with regard to, you know, our ongoing success, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to have a quality consultant in your building. The climate is so vast that one person cannot be aware of everything at any given time. So I think it's important that we recognize that and utilize those nurse consultants for what they are. And then from your perspective, Deb, when you guys leave and complete a report and you submit a report to the leadership, what are they supposed to do with that?
My hope, goal, is that they identify, and they're pretty good about identifying the not match, things that we need to improve upon, and writing an action plan about how they intend to correct that. So, again, implementing a system so we don't continually do one-offs or two-offs. Our risk is huge anymore in healthcare when a system goes down. So you want to be sure you have an action plan and follow up. Just have discussion about it. Keep it in the forefront, not, again, as to use the analogy about the crack in the wall, to make sure that it's holding and it's staying, that it's not going to break in some other area. Or if it is, call the consultant back and ask for some more guidance. I always tell people, too, when you're working at improvement, change one variable at a time. Change that one variable that you believe after you do good root cause analysis about why that problem exists, and change one variable. And if that variable doesn't make it work, then change another one. Don't just keep on trying.
It's really hard to you know, change the course of a battleship. They don't make right-hand turns very well. And that's right. Really what we're facing here is this slow corrections to get better improvement step by step, day by day, instead of, you know, eating the whole experience at one time. It's nearly impossible.
That's right. And I think with the new requirements of participation, I'm taking a big pause because it is can be an overwhelming experience, particularly for the smaller health centers. And so utilize that nurse consultant when they're on site to guide, direct. Are we doing it? Is this going to meet the requirements, the intent? Ask for an outsider to, again, review, look at, and assist with those changes for compliance.
So what I'm hearing you say in summary is the nurse consultant is really an ally and an asset to the community and should not be viewed as somebody coming just to check on them, make sure they're doing their work, but really leverage their experience in helping where you feel necessary for your particular community. Would that be a fair statement?
That is a very good statement. That's right.
So we appreciate Deb joining us today. We're excited that we can have consultants in the building. They do amazing work in the communities. They are on the road constantly, and we certainly want to shout out to all the nurse consultants for a job well done. So until next time, this is the Health Service Division Podcast signing off. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.